Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I am your host, Carl Fiadini. This is your favorite food podcast, by the way. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. On today's show, all right, on the menu today, and thank you, of course, as always, Peninsula Food Service for supplying the proteins for today's production. All right, so there's this thing called a sloppy chuck sandwich. Yeah, pure debauchery. I thought the ramen was going to be my pick today, but I'm so confused. I don't even know anymore. I don't know how I'm going to get home. That's how confused I am. All right, so our guest today and dear friend of the show, I have Nicole Cruz from Circle C Farms. She is going to give the farmer's perspective of our Farmer's Craveable Dinner Series of events. We're going to pull her in a minute, but Nicole's in the green room. Don't let me down, Nicole. Just don't let me down. All right, so there's lots of positive energy surrounding Walk and Talk podcast at the moment. We did speak to a few high-level potential sponsors and vendor partners this week, and I can't wait to break the news at some point. Just stay tuned, and I am going to just say one more time, Bo Jackson. All right, so that's something coming up, and I'm super stoked about that. Again, I'm just dropping little tidbits. All right, Chef Jeffy Jeff on the Schlisselmeister, why don't you jump into pre-shift and explain today's dishes to the audience? I mean, what the hell are you doing? My wife tells me not to come here anymore.
Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, she's like, look, what are you doing with these bozos? Like, you're gaining weight. When we met, you didn't look like this.
How many years ago did you meet?
A long time, but I mean, it's only been the last couple of few months here, you know?
Well, this is what you wanted to do, right?
This is the life I've chosen. Yeah. So, and you know what? I choose you, Jeff.
Thanks. You know what it is? You just don't bring her food home. That's why. You probably brought her some food home.
I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. I mean, I gotta. I'm living my best life here.
Today you definitely were.
Production days. This is where I want to live.
I warned you about the sandwich.
You did.
I definitely warned you about the sandwich.
Man, I was so content with that ramen. Like, I was like, nothing's gonna beat this today. Nothing. And then he comes out with this, I don't know, it was like a 9-inch tall sandwich. And I'm just like, what am I going to do? What, I roll in it? What do I do with that?
Yeah, dislocate your jaw, try to fit it in.
I can't, I don't have that function, man. I don't have that functionality. I can't do it.
So today, what I wanted to do is, since last week we focused in on like the prize fighter against like the two shanks, the Asambuco and the pork shank. Today, I wanted to show two different cuts. Especially because the holidays are coming around the corner, and we all know that beef tenderloin or the filet mignon is actually going through the roof. You know, $12 to $24, $12 for a portion cut or whatever it might be for you. You can go and then do a center cut ribeye, and it's going to be a lot less cost effective or cost involved in it. And a lot of chefs don't realize that there's that, you know, if you get a barrel cut or cut in the center cut in the filet style, the ribeye, then you can actually have a better tasting steak. Because I love filet, or I definitely love filet, but I love ribeye that much more because it has that marbling in it. So I wanted to present that in two different ways. You love the yellow pepper coulis, so I brought that back. John loved the spiralized potatoes because it just adds another crisp crunch, and it's almost like shoestring, but it's not really. And as you stack them and you go through it, it's almost like a hash brown. And then we topped that with some, we put that with some roasted leeks because I just love that flavor profile of leeks.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we jumped over and I said, well, let's do what you would do if you had like a leftover prime rib. And we used to do at my restaurant a wonton that was a Philly cheesesteak wonton. And we fried them up and we put them with a dipping sauce.
Wait, what?
A fried wonton that was a Philly cheesesteak.
Wow.
So it had caramelized onions, the ribeye. We shredded it and then.
Wait a minute. Who the hell do you think you are? I mean, who are you to do that?
It just you
and think how come things... you haven't done it here yet?
Well, who? I did. I did it in a ramen.
But that wasn't a Philly. That wasn't a Philly cheese.
It was Philly cheese. It was white cheddar cheese, caramelized onions, and ribeye inside the actual wonton.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No. You can't.
You wanted the fried. You wanted the crunch. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Do we have a fryer here? So we need a sponsor for a fryer. No, not an air fryer.
He's got a.
Hey, I'm trying to get us a fryer here, John. No, Silent don't. John over here just shaking his head.
No, we don't have.
We don't have. So the way to do ramen for me is I want to do it authentic as much as possible. So I did it with a bonito flakes kombu and I built it and layered the whole stock that way.
Bonito flake. Explain.
So bonita is the fish. It's one of the most popular fishes out there as far as the amount of fish that are out there. Japanese, what they do is they take that fish, they dry out the flesh of it, and then they shave that down, smoke it, and then shave it down. That in itself, when you open the bag, has such an aroma to it. It's not a smoky, it's not fishy. It's kind of like a really good combo of both. It's very balanced. And when you put that into your water and your stock, fish stock, whatever you're doing, you're making diyasho. Diyashimoto is where you're going to go to. There's so many different things. You can get soup packets, and like miso is one of the prime things that we do that has Hashimoto in it, or Hashidashi. From that, I built the layers with black garlic shoyu. I put black garlic in there. I wanted to do something different with the ramen noodles than you see like in the 20-cent, you know, Walmart, and you put it in the microwave like everyone has. So we did a rice and millet ramen noodle, and then I actually poached that inside the actual ramen itself. That's why I called it ramen ton, because it's a wonton ramen soup. Then switched gears to the chuck steak, and I showed you the behind the scenes when I was doing it in the pressure cooker. I took sake and black garlic and actually pureed that up and poured that on, and then I started to grill the vegetables around that. Use the Instapot under pressure. In about an hour, I had that completely done. So it had layers and on top of layers. We shot that with, and it was a gorgeous shoot.
Yeah, no, the photography on that is just choice, man. Super choice.
And we used the pomegranate, so it made it look very like winter, very holiday-esque. So I said something to him like, wow, that looks like, because he had the matching kind of napkin with it. He goes, I go, look, it looks Christmas already. You don't even have, he goes, hold on. And he went, runs over, gets the pine cone with a little snow dust on it and the little, you know, leaves on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was perfect. I mean, everything about that, the roast on the broccoli, the Chinese broccoli from Yi Family Farms that we still have. That was stunning. Then we turned that into that sandwich that lived up to its name, Sloppy Chuck.
Man, I do. Man, that Sloppy Charles, boy, I tell you what. No, that Sloppy Chuck was amazing.
Yeah, Uzu marmalade just added another layer. Then I took the Wickles juice from Wickles Pickles, and then
don't sleep on the onion bread, though. I mean, that onion bread, like that, it kind of it made everything stick. Yeah. Everything.
Try to.
Well, what I mean is the flavor. That the bread with the onion, it kind of made everything else. It was the vessel, like literally and figuratively, it was just the vessel.
But you can't forget it and rule out the non-pinky green fried green tomato with the blue masa, which was the blue flour.
I mean, it was like a half a dozen or more different layers in there on flavor profile.
Yeah, I wanted to do it. I had a little chipotle in there too, a little season complete though.
You know, I just want to say this to the audience out there.
Wait until they see the BTS.
Right. Seriously. That's why people need to kind of migrate over to the website, check out our Farmers Craveable Dinner Series events, because we have our first one coming up January 13th, and it's going to be badass. And
not only that, we have the December 16th, which is the social influencers are going to have a part of the menu that we're going to be doing.
Right. Right. Naturally. But here's the thing, man. Like, you know, we're here every week, week in, week out, and man, I got to eat all that food and talk about it. And, you know, people are like, you know, you see the social media, people are like, you know, I'm jealous. You know, how do I get, this is how you people get the food in your belly. This is the way to do it.
Or so, just be like Amy Lee and just
show up, be here. You know, all of a sudden she's part of the team. Like it's open like that. Like this is what we do. All right. Speaking of, farmers, you know, craveable dinner events. We have a farmer on the phone.
One of our original farmers we went and talked to.
Yeah. This is like the OG farmer OG in the house, Nicole Crew, Circle C Farms. How the hell are you?
I am fabulous. I am absolutely fabulous. And I'm getting very, very hungry. And I'm going to get with Manny because of Chef Jeffrey's wonton situation.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to put that on my request Manny to make list.
You know, Nicole, this morning it was like 38 degrees by my house. And and I'm thinking to myself, oh, today's going to be just really awesome with the ramen.
We all got a text this morning, too.
Yeah. I mean, I felt it. I was like, I was in my emotions with it. So I put a group text and I'm just like, hey, today ramen, perfect. And by golly, it was absolutely perfect.
Don't ask us because he ate it all.
Okay, I was going to say, did you manage? Like,
We got.
We woke up here in the upper 40s, so I made chicken noodle or chicken bone broth soup that I'm going to add stuff to this evening. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got basically one wonton each and some broth, and then I looked over and there was it was like a prison scene. He had his arm around it. He was shoveling and he was growling and he was like a Matt Dillon in that one movie, was singing as he was eating.
Did anybody notice I had a shaved toothbrush in my waistband. I was ready to use it.
Yeah, he was shank. Yeah.
So, but you know, it's funny. If everybody were to go to the Instagram page, they would see that we did some BTS, you know, big tummy status, behind the scenes status there. So I was smart. I was real smart about it. I was like, you know, how am I going to eat this whole bowl of awesome wonton, right? Ramen. And I said, you know what? I got to slurp this sucker. So, we did a little video and I did tag you in it, by the way, Nicole. So it'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you know what? We don't need no stinking spoon. That's what Jeff said. And I, you know, whatever. And I just picked that bowl up and I was,
and then backwashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So none of us got to anything.
I stuck my pinky in it. I was like, hey, anybody can eat this? Boop. You know, and
that's how it goes for us.
How you typically secure stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
No, yeah. he stands there as we're trying to do stuff. And he's like, funny. ooh, for me.
You know, there's a there's a method to
the madness.
To it, you know, like you have to stand at the right time, the right place, with the right presence in order to get the grub. And, you know, and I have it down pat.
I will say this. He did, when we were shooting the ribeye, and I was using some of the ribeye for the wontons, there was like four extra pieces. I'm like, hey, you can go ahead and start eating that if you want to. I have enough. He eats three of them, looks over, he goes, man, I really got to save this for John. And he walked away.
Yeah, I didn't
he
want
did
to.
Because he had to walk away from it.
I had to leave it. I didn't want to walk away. I didn't want to save it for John, but I knew it was the right thing to do, you know? And I was trying to tell him. He's like, oh, that, you
didn't really have that. You wanted it. You just, whatever.
And I told him, I said, this is what really real friendship is. Like, I was going to eat it. And I said, no, I can't do it.
It was a bromance moment. Yeah.
I was like, man, this is...
Forget that Hallmark. That was bromance.
That's for you. That's for you. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, John got to partake today.
Oh, good. Okay. All right, good. So.
What? As he just mouthed one out of four.
That's hilarious. Okay. We have fun. So.
I'm not going to tell him that you ate a couple more before that either. It was like six pieces.
I had a lot. I was actually full. That's how come you got that. I'm kidding. I'm just sort of kidding.
No, he's not. He's totally being serious.
No, I don't really think he is kidding. So, yeah.
No.
Look, it is what it is. All right. So, Farmer Nicole. Yes. So you have a good understanding of what these events are going to be, right? The Farmers Craveable Dinners events?
I do. I've participated in a handful of them, and they're absolutely fabulous. Like, it's just to have the opportunity for chefs to really reach out and push into the community of agriculture and to take advantage of local and hyper-local is really important. It's critically important because it continues to highlight the need and the fact that even when you're working with distributors and broadliners, that they are ultimately sourcing their product from a farmer. And so to be able to have you guys doing this locally and to be able to highlight and spotlight all of the farms or farmers around you that you're working with or that the chefs are actually working with is absolutely fantastic. Because I think sometimes that there's a real disconnect when people come into a restaurant and they are served this amazing plated experience. And yet oftentimes there's a disconnect of how did it get there? And so you all are taking it. I mean, we've talked about this before, but you're really taking it to a different level. And to be doing this after the beginning of the year, after the chaos of the holidays, when people can actually spend some time thinking about what do they want for themselves and how do they want to start 2024, to be able to come to this craveable experience adventure and to be able to eat produce, proteins, just products, agricultural products that you're sourcing right here in our space is awesome. Because it's really going to highlight the fact that if you take quality product, whether it's produce, proteins, whatever you're sourcing, and you take the talent of the chefs and you take the simplicity of the actual item, and through experience and through just a real consciousness of how are you going to take that protein or vegetable fruits, and how are you going to transform those from what they are into something incredible, but in a way that's simple and thoughtful and in a way that's respectful of the animal or the farmer that was growing the produce or raising the livestock to be harvested. It's just a really different experience. And my personal experience has been that when I've been at these events is when the chefs can talk about how did they come up with, why did they choose to season something the way they did? Why did they choose to present it the way they did? It's a totally different component to the culinary experience. But then backing that up even an extra step and talking to or having the farmer be able to explain, this is what it took for me to get this to the chef. then the chef worked their magic and they took it and were able to present it to you to experience it. That's just a whole different opportunity that most people don't get. And it's also a whole caliber of conversation that typically never occurs at the table. And exactly. So it's just a totally different experience. So for people who have never come to or participated, this is really an opportunity that's very unique. I don't want to say it's a once in a lifetime, because I know that what we've talked with you guys is about having a whole series of these and to be able to highlight different components, whether it's seasonal, or thematic in wrapping around whatever, you know, the focus is for that particular event or craveable, then it's going to expand everybody's repertoire of culinary imagination, if that makes sense. And that's the part that's the most fun.
Yeah, that's 100%. I mean, there's a lot of people, even chefs out there, that don't realize where their farms are or where things come from. And I think one of the things for us when we were trying to decide, you know, the farm to table, everything's farm to table. I mean, Doritos, for crying out loud, are farm to table. But they're really, obviously, it's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a wholesome, you know, people that have that passion, not only for the land, because that's what farmers are. They're shepherds of the land, not of the whatever they're growing or the livestock that they have. It's taking care of the land for their livestock. When you have that passion, it's
for family farms, man. Yeah. Independent farms.
For us, it goes over to that whole thing of being, you know, that passion and that great product goes to us. When we have great product, that's just a whole nother, you know, story in itself. Yeah. You know,
especially if you're,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially since I know that a lot of the chefs, so I'm going to kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth for this one. A lot of the chefs truly desire the opportunity to work with a local farm.
Are you going to hurt my feelings here, Nicole?
No, they just don't want to pay for it.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. And at the same time, it's sometimes perceived as cost prohibitive. But one of the things that, you know, I kind of bring it back to, and I know as a collective, the four of us have talked about this before, you get what you pay for. But separate from a pricing component, it's really important for chefs to understand that if you're able to work with somebody local, even if it's not for your whole menu, even if it's just one plate that you offer on your menu, you are elevating your culinary expression of what food means. And so when you work with the broadliners and the vendors, you're still, like we mentioned, you're still talking and working with farmers at some point in the supply chain, food chain. But to be able to also enhance by saying, I got this from here and it's 25 miles from this restaurant, it's highlighting things differently for the customer, the consumer, but it's also giving the chef an opportunity to work with a product that's going to be different than the quality of product, not more or less, just different than what they're getting from their vendors and the broadliners.
Yeah, if you look at the like the chicken companies, right, and there's a bunch of them out. Yeah. Well, actually, it's not really a bunch. There's like maybe a handful of them. When you're getting that from a U.S. Foods, a Sysco, a Cheney, a PFG, you're getting that could be from Alabama. It could be from Georgia, the one that's down there. I can't remember. Gainesville, Georgia, which is like the chicken capital of the United States. You look at the travel time that has to get there. Look, what is the care that that animal has? When I can go down to Bonita Springs and walk through Circle C and see how the chickens are running around on pasture, I mean, that inspires me because I know that chicken's going to taste differently. It's like the same fact that when chefs want a birika ham, because the birika hams, you know, all they eat is acorns, and that's their diet in Spain, and that's known for having the most, you know, nutty and fat flavor through there. Well, they want that because that's the care that the animal received. But yet, on the same token, they know they're going to spend for it, and that's the disconnect that they have. They're thinking, "Well, you're a private farmer. I should be getting it for $2 a pound. Why am I going to spend, you know, X amount of dollar per pound?" Mm-hmm. Well, because it costs you a lot more money. There's no subsidies.
Yeah, right. And last week we had Amy on the show, right, from Yee Family Farms. And, you know, when we asked her what her biggest challenge was, it was, you know, offshore competition, you know, on price point. because mm-hmm. where that product is coming from, they're just, you know, the wage, everything is much different than it is here. Living, you know, the quality of life of those individuals, those farmers, what they make, the whole nine yards is a lot. It's not like it is here. So it's coming in a very, yeah. you know, at a lesser price point. That's hard to, yeah, it's hard to combat, you know? So like, you know, in the cold, you can, I know that you can, you know, testify to that because you're up against, you know, basically the same stuff. And for you to put your product out on the market, I mean, you have to put it out at, you know, X dollar or else it's simply not worth it.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Well, yes. And the thing is that it costs me a lot more. So how we do and what we do is totally different than what a commercial, conventional feedlot, hothoused product comes from. So I have about 200 acre farm, and we're 100% pasture raised. We're a grass fed and grass finished farm. So everything that I do is labor over 200 acres. It's not, so like for my chickens are rotated every 2 days. Their mobile houses are moved. So that's very different than having 100,000 chickens in
a darkened
20,000 square foot building. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A darkened feed house that they feed 24 hours, 7 days a week and have a 30% mortality rate, if not higher.
Right, right. So, you know, everything that we do is, it's different. It's not, one chicken is not the same as another chicken. So, and I understand and I respect the fact that depending upon what the chef is looking to do or where they're working or whatever, they have to source based on what their needs are. And I totally get that. You know, so I think the nice thing is that there's a full spectrum of product available, and that gives chefs at least an opportunity if they have the ability within their structure to be able to at least offset some of their, a dish or two maybe in their restaurant, to be able to work with a local farmer and to be able to highlight that component. And, you know, I think that the education process is something that we've done together, all of us, over the last couple of years to inform and educate not only the restaurant staff, whether it's front of the house or back of the house, but also educating the consumer. So we opened up our facility in 2017, and I don't do sales. I mean, I handle the sales, but I don't do sales. My responsibility is not to sell you on my proteins. My responsibility is to educate and inform you. Whether you choose to participate in enjoying them is up to you. And there could be reasons why you do and reasons why you don't. And that's up to you. It's not my place to push or nudge or convince you. My responsibility is to educate you on what I do, why I do it, how I do it, and what makes me different.
You are a provider. You and really salespeople in general. They're not really salespeople. I mean, there are, you know, quote unquote salespeople, and nobody, yeah. and they have a negative connotation. Everybody else who's mm-hmm. selling a service or a product is really, they're a provider of those goods and services. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I provide X, Y, and Z. And it's either this is something you can use or it's something mm-hmm. that you can't.
You can't. Yeah. And I'm personally totally cool with that because I know that at some point in my case, because the other thing that separates us too is that, for example, we harvested lambs. Today's Thursday. We harvested lambs on Tuesday. So we've been butchering lamb, fresh pasture raised, grass fed, grass finished lamb for the last 2 days. So in my farm stores, because we did open our new one on the farm. So when in my farm stores today and tomorrow, you will have fresh lamb that literally came off the pasture 48 to 72 hours before you consumed it. And that lamb is going to be no chem, no injection, no gas, no color, no chem, no preservative, no. It's a totally different culinary experience than something you're going to go get from the grocery store.
Well, and it's also, it's domestic.
It's 6 to 12 months old.
Yeah, yeah. It's domestic. So the difference between New Zealand, Australia, and domestic is there's huge variance.
It's very different. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then the flavor profile is different. The fat structure is different. Everything about what we raise is different philosophically and physically. And so it's a totally different experience. And that's what under the craveable dinners, that the idea is to be able to give a different experience, to be able to walk and talk about why it's different. Do you know what I mean? Like to be able to say, this is what makes this, and this is why this is an incredible experience.
I love what you did there, by the way.
So, oh yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Walk and talk, though. Yeah, I get it.
See, he just looked right at me, and I just closed my eyes because I thought there was a dad joke coming up, too. Like,
No dad joke.
You held back.
No, because listen, guys, we don't want to walk in circles, do we?
Look at that. She brought a 360 full circle.
Don't sleep.
No.
Do not sleep on Nicole, man. No. She's...
No. No,
If I had half of her mind, man, I tell you, I'd be unstoppable.
This is true.
No, it's okay. Between the two of us, we have a whole brain.
Right.
But I will say that, you know, between the New Zealand, the way they raise their lambs is the way that I think everybody in the United States should be raising their lambs too, like you do. It's from farm.
Just outside.
Yep. Outside. Let them walk on the prairie. Let them eat the grasses. And it's grass finished. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I know some lamb producers here in the United States grain finish their lambs. Yeah, the eye is much different. It's not as gamey as some people think and so on and so forth. And it looks more like a small cow on some of the cuts, especially on the ribeye or the chop cuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, your product, and I know because we've had your product, your New York strip that you gave us like back in 2020. Wow, it's been that long.
Has it? No.
No, 2020. It's 2021. 2021. No,
whenever
last year. Ian, last year. So it's 2022. Sorry, I'm getting old. The 22 when you gave us when we left and we came back up. I went, man, is this? Did she mess up and give us like Wagyu? Because it was like fork tender. You didn't even need a knife, and that's the difference too. But you can see, and that's the whole process or the behind the scenes of why we wanted to develop the craveable farmers craveable dinner is because. We want to showcase what the farmers have. First of all, like, is there a bumper crop? Did you have like, you know, 400 pounds of something that you didn't expect? Or you can't sell XYZ because the butcher cut it wrong when you had it fabricated, or you just, nobody's buying that particular cut. That's where we want to come in and first start there and then develop the menu around that or whatever the farmer has available for us at that time. Hence the reason why that menu was online. We have to modify because certain products will not be available come January.
Yeah, it's not because we're slacking. Okay.
No, there's one already written.
But let me poke in on that too, because I think it's very timely. So our weather for the past, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks has been erratic and yo-yoing. So it's we're 80 or 85, 90 degrees on one day, and like 48 hours later, we're 45 or 50 degrees.
Like yesterday.
You know what I mean? Like there's this up, down. So to your point, I think this is a really important opportunity to talk about the difference between how I farm and what I can produce versus what's in a hothouse. So I've had to communicate to my clientele that when the laying hens went into molting, and that's where they drop their feathers each year as the fall starts to transition into winter and as the day gets shorter and the light and all that good stuff, I have about a 4 week window of hit or miss on my laying hens laying eggs. Now I've conditioned, I've educated, I've informed my clientele, but if they're new to us or they've forgotten, I'm getting emails or, you know, social media messaging saying, "Hey, where are the eggs? Why are the eggs out of stock?" I'm like, "Well, because the laying hens have stopped producing eggs because they've converted their energy into regrowing their feathers. So you're going to have to hang tight. We're working on this. We've got several thousand laying hens, so we're getting some eggs, but just not at the same volume. And so the other component to real agriculture or farming the old-fashioned way, like we're doing, is the fact that we have to go and adjust around the seasons. So my eggs, to your point about what's going to be available in early, mid-January, my eggs will be available, but a month or so ago, we were tight. So right now, with the weather going up and down temperature-wise, my chickens that typically take 3 to 4 months are going to probably end up taking me 4 to 5 months right now to get them up to weight, because the weather pattern is so inconsistent that the chickens don't know, is it hot or is it cold?
And you know
and
what?
So
Nicole,
that's taking them a lot longer.
Hold on a second. You know, because at the end of it, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be hot or cold. You know, the other weekend, the other weekend, it was time to put up the, Christmas stuff for the kids outside, lights and all that stuff. I picked a day. It was 85 degrees outside. I'm putting up this stuff and I'm sweating profusely. It's humid. I'm like, this is Florida. Oh my goodness. Like I want to put everything back in a box, put it back in the garage and wait till next year. That's how I felt about it, you know, because it's like, wow, you know, like the night before, nice, cold, you know, 50s, 40s, whatever. The next day I'm doing this thing. It's almost 90 degrees. Come on.
Well, you want to hear this? Yep. This is, he goes to go outside front to do something and he goes, oh, pff, it's too hot out there. I looked at my watch. It was 66 degrees. Poor baby. That's the meat sweats.
It was the meat sweats. Yeah. You can't blame me for that.
I told him to go out in the back patio.
I'm running a fever. I'm running a fever over here. It's all ribeye. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say, how much did he shovel in before he did that?
Quite a bit.
And the truth comes out.
It does. It always does.
You know, for me, working with the farmers is logistically what we have available, and hearing people like, well, they don't have this at the supermarket. Well, it's funny because the farmers do, you know, your local farmers, you know, Vicky Webster, she's just moved her farm up north about an hour and she goes, hey, I need to know how much cheese you need, how much cream you need, and how much, butter you need, because the girls are going to start drying up soon. So it's like, there's my warning right there. I got to make sure I get that information. And that's what I love, because it pushes me to think outside my box. Like, we were thinking about a dessert with pineapple when I went to go visit with Marvin, and I realized that his pineapples were not going to be ready. So I had to shift gears and I was like, okay, what are we known for in Florida? In fruit.
Alligators.
In that season. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's in season. Well, tangerines are coming.
Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's too. But those aren't sweet. But I thought tangerines, and I thought of like the orange Julius growing up as a kid, and I thought that would be a really cool dessert. So we morphed that into something with a flourless chocolate cake with tangerine kind of creamsicle mousse. And then I messed up last week. I made this mixed nut brittle. John's smirking and laughing because he loved it, but got absolutely nothing of it. Somebody in his house ate it. So happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, but I didn't get any.
We'll have it on that day. Actually, I'm going to be putting it in some of the VIP bags. They're going to get a whole nice little smorgasbord in that bag.
The other thing we have to do is figure out when Nicole's going to get herself up here with some yummies. And we could do a whole.
Yes. Shouldn't you have that coming about right now? Something about Wagyu or something like that. The last time you were on.
Yeah. Well, we've had that on the website for a couple of months. So yeah, I'm waiting for our coordinated date to come up.
All right, cool.
So we can figure out.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking something that we could do with you for that. That would be really killer. Just to showcase that product. Especially how you raise the animals down there and the care that you have for the animals.
Well, thank you. It's pretty exciting. It's fun.
Yeah. And it's funny cause I want to make sure we rotate the farms too. I just don't want to use the one farm because there's so many great farmers down there and up here too, as well.
It's about expanding the network.
Well, you want people to realize that, hey, it's not just here in Plant City or in Dover or Sefner. Then you've got Bonita Springs. You've got guys in Claremont. You've got Mount Clair. You've got near or outside Gainesville. I mean, when I went on, here's a tidbit of information. for people in South Florida, specifically, if you go to Facebook and you go to South Florida Farm Finder and you just ask to go in that group and say, hey, I'm looking for whatever the product you're looking for, you will have not one, not 10. I had 76 farmers respond to the post about doing the dinners. So it's really powerful. That group is really powerful. And if you can find what you're looking for on that group, there's going to be a farmer that's going to reach out to you.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Now, are you, that Facebook page that you're talking about, there's also, I don't know if it's the same one, but there's one called Florida Farm Finder.
Yeah, that's the one. That's Jill that's Childs. Okay. It's a big deal. Yeah,
Jillian Childs.
Yeah, yep, it's a big deal.
Yep. So it's Florida Farm Finders.
Thank you for correcting me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's okay, because I'm a member of that, and you're right. It is a wealth of resources between individuals in the collective community wanting to find farms and the farmers responding back like myself, like, hey, I've got this and I'm in this area. If you can't find it in your area, I can ship it to you. You know, and that kind of thing. So yeah, that is an awesome, I'm glad you shared that. She does an incredible job with that.
Hopefully she can be there. Jillian, hopefully you can go.
Wasn't there a match.com thing for farmers?
Yeah, there was. Why would you bring that up?
What was it called?
Matching, but not that same kind of matching.
No, but there was. There was like another one where farmers were looking for love. It was like the bachelor for the farmers,
like,
too.
Yeah, because there was a jingle to it. It was like da 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 da. I remember it. I just can't think of the name. That's funny.
I think you were thinking that.
Yeah, no, it's farmersonly.com.
Is it farmersonly.com?
It was. I swear to you, because I would, when they would pop that up for the period of time that they were doing it, they would put it up on, they were TV ads. And I'm like, I'm looking at that going,
John's actually,
that is not what real farmers look like, but all right, if that works for your marketing, but that's not what real farmers look like.
I could see the Farmers Only Fans page. It's got tractors on there and stuff.
Farmersonly.com.
Yep, there it is.
Well, but there was the slogan. It was like, find love and fire. I forget what, but it was a whole jingle and everything. It was funny.
Yeah.
All right. That, by the way, I want to go on record. That was not me bringing the show back down. That was Carl.
City folks just don't get it.
You know? Is that the slogan?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you're right. That is the slogan. I just remember the TV commercials.
Listen,
but yeah.
Listen, our audience.
Nigeria is really going to love this one.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you can't. What do we always say? Hold on a minute. What do we always say? We're not your typical podcast where it's just monotone talking.
Hello.
Right.
You
gotta have some fun. You gotta have fun, man. Like, we're having a good time. This is fun. Eat food photography. We make fun of, you know, stuff on the internet. Whatever. It's good. We have a good time.
It's like a box of chocolates.
Like a box of chocolates. I know.
Like a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're gonna get.
Nicole, you're like my Jenny, okay?
Oh, that hurt my rib.
No.
There's a lot of inside jokes going on around here, too.
Oh, yes.
I love. You should be catching this on video, John.
No, this should be. No, this is when you hit 53 and you sneeze and you almost break your rib.
It's funny.
Huh? I'm glad you're loving. Yes. Yeah. Old. Thanks, man.
We're having a blast. All right. So, all right. Whoa. What are you doing?
Are you having a moment, Carl?
I'm fine. You know, he's talking about bringing the show down. He's like knocking the equipment over.
He's taping me. Get pain now.
Wow.
Thanks, John.
That's why you didn't want video, huh?
Everyone deserves to see this.
Well, thanks.
Yes.
I'm schwitzing.
This is a viral. You're going to go viral on this. You know?
What, for dropping all your equipment?
No, this was literally, I sneezed this morning and I almost broke my rib.
Drop a deuce?
No. You were serious.
No, almost. Oh, I'm dead serious.
Oh, I'm so sorry, people. Okay.
Ow.
Listen, we're a legit show.
I know.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
It's a small, it's a tiny little bus. A tiny little bus it is.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, Nicole.
Yes.
What's your website? How do people find you?
EatCircleCFarm.com.
EatCircleCFarm.com.
And the farm is in Felda, F-E-L-D-A, Florida. And the reason why I mention that is because we have just opened roughly a month ago our new on-farm farm store. And we have a 40-foot meat locker. So you actually get to come in and
For what? I heard meat locker.
40-foot meat locker.
I got excited.
A 40-foot meat locker. So you actually get to come down and shop in 40-foot freezer.
You should make that a bed and breakfast. You should make that a bed and breakfast. Put a bed in there. Jeff will be your first breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Do you call it the meat locker?
I do.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome.
I do. It's my meat locker.
She's so got like it's gets totally, in there with like Rocky and hits the sides of beef.
Yeah, you could because it's like, you know, 10 degrees in there.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I like it. So, yeah. I like what you're saying. Yeah. How's it going at the farm store?
It's good. We're finishing up a couple of the final details and I'm just putting the finishing touches. It's really interesting the difference. We're talking about farmers growing different things and in different areas and you know, the consumer may be wanting different things geographically or being accustomed to things seasonal, those types of things. And we have a very different clientele in the Bonita Springs area than we do out here in Felda. Everybody's wonderful, but it's very interesting to see what cuts of meat they prefer. And so it's fun and it's interesting for conversations of what people are looking for from a culinary experience standpoint. And so that's been really enlightening, but it's been a lot of fun. And we're also working with some other local farmers. I'm actually in the process of putting together a application opportunity to work with us as other farmers, whether it's proteins or produce. And then we are going to be having on-farm events and all sorts of stuff like that. So I'm pretty stoked.
It sounds like we need to have some off-air conversations to see what how we can all work together on that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And I have no problem coming up to hang out with you guys up there. But you all need to also plan on coming down here because we have our licensed kitchen here on the farm, which means Jeffrey can throw down in the kitchen.
It'll be just like Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not privy to that one. What happened there?
We walked into somebody's. Yeah, we were invited to somebody's house, and we already had plans to make this dinner with like rack of lamb that Pooch had bought, and we had some vegetables, and we're like, screw it, we'll just bring it along with us. And we literally walked in the house, and I turned around and looked at somebody. I didn't even know if it was their house. I was like, do you mind if I play in your kitchen? They went, no, go ahead. I turned around and. I made rack of lamb, soft-shelled crawfish, asparagus, zucchini, squash, and just kind of had some fun.
Yeah, it was pretty terrific. It really was terrific.
It was terrific for him because he got to eat.
This guy, everywhere I go, this guy's feeding me. I mean, literally wherever I go.
Yeah, true story. Literally true story.
Living my best life. It's good. I got to go to the... You know what we need on the show?
The food and the beverages,
a nutritionist,
a doctor. We need a doctor on staff.
We not even a gym trainer and a nutritionist,
like a cardiologist, probably. I don't know. Oh my!
You know what? If we got great food and great products, like we do from Creekstone and other, like maybe Nicole, we wouldn't have to go see a doctor all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's what you're putting in your body. Because you have a saying too, it's what you eat to feel good, right? Isn't something like that you had? It's like your tagline, Nicole.
From me?
Yes.
Oh, taste the difference, feel the difference.
That's what it was. Taste the difference, feel the difference.
Yeah.
I embrace that. I embody that. You know, but I have to tell you something. If I'm on a road trip, you know, sort of a long work schedule, whatever, I ain't gonna lie. Drive-thrus make me happy too, man. But they're horrible for you. That's the thing. And it's such a trade-off. You know, it's like you get that half hour of you know, happiness, you know, because it's whatever they put in there, it's flavorful. It tastes good. I don't care what anybody says. It tastes good, but
it tastes good.
Yeah, but nutritionally,
it's not good for you.
But right, like, you know, yep. I'm dying faster. Yeah,
or preserved, yep. Like I am.
Well, it's funny. Your spirit well leaves preserved. You, but your body stays together. It's weird how that works. Yep. It's crazy. It's
yep.
Crazy. All right.
Well, I come home hungry a lot when I go into town.
Me too. Me too. When yeah. I come over to the studio, you know, Ibis Images Studios here, I come here fully prepared to eat.
I think he stops eating at 6 on Wednesdays. And I mean fast. 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I fast for like 24 hours before coming here. It's a prep. It's my prep.
Prepare his body.
Yeah. Jeff is out there doing prep, food prep, and I'm doing mind and body prep, meaning I'm like, all right, doing some yoga, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me either. You're right. That was a lie. Yeah, no. That was a bold-faced lie.
So more like, straight you're going to hand me that food? You're going to hand me that
food. Give me that burger. Exactly. Oh, my God.
You going to eat that?
Yeah, exactly.
That ramen?
It's not, I'm going to.
All right. So what we're going to do then, Miss Nicole, is we're going to figure out when you are going to get up here and when we're going to make awesome absolutely. Food with your stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yes, well, I'm going to go through my meat locker.
Jeff is going to make awesome food with your stuff, and I'm going to experience it. Mwah.
And I'll talk to you later about the farmer event.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk. It would be great to get you in there. Let's see where the need is. And if not this one, definitely the next one. I mean, you're part of the fam, the food fam. I'm and it. Friend fam and all that good stuff. So, Nicole, thank you for coming on the show. Be well. We love you. Jeffrey.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Thank you. Jeff, man, you God, you did it today, dude.
Thanks, man.
I'm really happy. Super happy. I really am. John's looking at me like, hey, man, we're running out of time. Look at the thing.
No, he's not doing this
yet. No, he's not yet. I'm waiting for him, too.
He actually is playing the intro because I know the difference now because Blue.
I can hear it.
God.
He just realized it too.
Yeah, it's all right. Nobody's mad at you, dude.
He's giving you the evil eye.
No.
It's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. All right, John. Also, good job today, man. Your photos are stupidly amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
They're phenomenal.
Yes. Follow us, people. Go to the walk and talk, thewalkintalk.com. Check out our stuff. Check out this dinner. People.
Yes.
Come on. What are we talking about here? It's food.
Right on the farm.
Let Jeff feed you, too.
Okay. Literally on the farm.
Literally.
I like that. Hey, and this website is stellar.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody need to tell the websites? Now we're getting a finger roll over there from John. All right, guys. Thank you kindly. And now we are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space.
Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.